Is it since September that I was here?
Yes.
It's been a while.
Sure. Oh, well, of course. The bishop came. When I was supposed to come in November, the bishop came. So I was very happy to let him be here. He probably was better than I am. Yeah.
Oh, it's nice to know he has his uses.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, we're supposed to have a bishop.
Yeah, we have to have one.
He's such a busy fellow.
But well, as you were missed, you see.
As always, it's a pleasure to be here, and I'm delighted that Celia's with me today.
We're delighted to.
My servant, today's collect and our epistle reading point to the Holy Scriptures as being written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the spirits, might have hope. And then in our Gospel we are told, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing for them for fear. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God never hides from us, his people, what he is about to do on earth. Instead, he always sends us some signals or signs that are designed to warn us and get us prepared. Before the flood, God used the preaching of Noah and the building of the ark as a sign of the destruction that was about to take place. He sent Moses to Pharaoh before he brought 10 plagues upon the Egyptians. Before he sent his son to be born of a virgin, he put a star in the heaven as one of the signs to let people know of Jesus' birth. Just as the first coming of Jesus was preceded with signs, will his second coming be preceded with signs? There will be signs in the world that will correspond to the word of God. When these signs appear, there will be fear and panic. Fear and panic are signs of unbelief. Jesus tells us to fear not, as it is he who comes to deliver us from fear. Today, in all parts of the world, we are experiencing distressing conditions. Bombings, earthquakes, tsunamis, the loss of innocent lives, famine, the greenhouse effect, the serious economic and sociological problems of unemployment, crime, robbery, and violence. All of these factors are worrisome, and some may be thinking that all this is foretelling the second coming. As concerning as these issues are, there are more important issues about the future that should be weighing on our minds. Firstly, when is Jesus coming? Second, what will happen when he does come? Thirdly, how do I get ready? When is Jesus coming? No one knows. In Matthew we are told, no one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Over the ages, many have tried to anticipate the second coming of Christ. In AD 135, Montanus, a second century Christian, proclaimed himself to be a prophet and prophesied that the New Jerusalem would now descend from heaven to earth and take root in what is now Turkey. He was wrong. In AD 204, Hippolytus records that a bishop of that time was convinced that the Lord was going to return immediately. He urged his followers to sell all that they had and follow him into the wilderness to await the Lord's coming. He was wrong. His followers were left homeless and became beggars. At the end of the first millennium, in AD 999, anticipation of the second coming ran just as high as when the year 2000 approached. On the last day of 999, the Basilica of St. Peter's at Rome was filled with trembling and weeping people as they expected the world to end. They were wrong. There have been more modern prophets in the late 1970s. A book was published giving 101 reasons that when the world would end in 1988. Why have they all been so wrong? Because they all forgot what Jesus said. No one knows. The angels do not know. Even Jesus, while he was here on earth, did not know. This may sound strange at first. Is not Jesus supposed to be God? And is not God omnipotent? If Jesus is God and God is all-knowing, then how does Jesus not know the date of his own return? We need to understand that Jesus was God, but when he came man, he voluntarily and temporarily limited the attributes of his divinity. St. Paul wrote, Christ Jesus made himself nothing. Taking on the very nature of a servant, he emptied himself or limited his divine attributes, though he remained divine. You may also recall that Jesus also said that he could only do what his Father had given him to do. As we learn in that scene in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he asked God to take away this cup, but not my will, but thine. Today, we Christians know what is going to happen. We just don't know when, and that leads us to the next question. What will happen when he comes? Firstly, there will be the general resurrection. John tells us that Jesus says, For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. There are two important things to notice about this verse. Firstly, Jesus says, the hour, and this is singular and speaks of one time. Then he says, all that are in their graves, the good and the bad, will rise. The just and the unjust will be resurrected at the same time. There will only be one resurrection. That includes both the righteous, who will rise to live with God forever, but the wicked will also rise, but be condemned to eternity in hell. So all of this leads us to the final question. How do I get ready? The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Simply put, because of our sins, we deserve to be separated from God forever. Salvation is now offered and forever a gift of God's grace through the once-offered sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We can refuse our salvation by our free will, but we became eligible only through the death of Christ in payment for our fallenness, both original and personal. If you accept this gift from God, then you will spend eternity in God's presence. How do we do this? Firstly, admit our sins to God and ask his forgiveness. Secondly, believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins. And thirdly, to commit the rest of our lives to serving him. However, once you have done this, you have only just begun. You need to invest yourself in God's kingdom. Do not store up treasures on earth, but rather store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You all know of the parable of the servants and the talents or monies that their master gave them to invest. God has given each one of us certain opportunities and abilities and expects us to be using them for his kingdom. It does not matter if you've been given much or little. It only matters that you use what you have got. Finally, I urge each and every one of us to live each day as if it were our last, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when we do not expect him. This has been unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen.